as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Verse 6, for it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. If you'll skip down to verse 9 with me, and we'll continue. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellences of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Verse 11. Beloved, I urge you, as sojourners and exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Amen.
Thanks. So that's who we are. Once we were not a people, now we are a people. And we're here tonight to celebrate that fact that God has brought us together as an expression of the people of God in a local church. And we're going to start tonight by proclaiming the excellencies of him who called us. So several people have agreed to share, and that's their goal, is to proclaim what God's done. And I hope that you'll receive some encouragement from them. So first up is Judy Hernandez. So would you welcome Judy as she comes? Here you go.
Thank you, everyone, and good evening. John and I joined the Omegas about 6 years ago, and we have been truly blessed because being a part of this elite club is really awesome. The people that are in the Omegas are so warm and friendly, and each and every one of them is very dear and very special to our hearts. We're so glad that God gave us the opportunity to become a part of the Omegas ministry and in helping out with the senior citizens. I don't know if I should say that, but I actually do qualify as a senior citizen. Anyway, we're very thankful that the Lord has found a way to use us. And for that, I can never thank him enough for it, because the blessings that we get each time that we administer to them, it's like, wow, just not just a little bit of rain coming down, but a shower of blessings coming down. Mm-hmm. And it's truly amazing. As you know, last month we lost a very dear sister of ours in Christ, Ruth Strong. And I'd like to share a little bit about why Ruth was so very dear to my heart and why her passing really meant a lot to me. When we first started looking for a church to call home about 13 years ago, we came to church on Mill and we thought, well, this is close to our house and this looks like a good Southern Baptist church. Let's give it a try. So we walked in, and the first group of people that interacted with us and really made us feel warm and welcome were Ruth and Marion. And they were so warm in how they welcomed us that we really felt that God's presence was actually living in them because we could feel it. And so for that, we decided to stay here at Church on Meal. Now, it wasn't until a couple of weeks later that Ruth and I started sharing hugs. And she would always say to me, Judy, I really love the way you hug. And I would say the same thing to her. But those hugs were very special. And the reason why I say that is because at the time that we each had our arms around each other, I truly believe God would have his arms around us at the same time. And that's what made it so very special. And I love Ruth to this very day because she just was such a great, warm person. And so when it came time and we needed, John and I knew that we needed to minister to the family. And so we helped to provide two dinners for Marion's family that came into town. The first dinner was also helped by Katina and Wally. The second dinner was helped by Janine and John and myself. And both times, it was just a great joy to go over there and share with them, talk about how wonderful their mother was, and show that their mother really made an impact on our lives. So I also organized the luncheon for Marion after the funeral service. And I really thank all the extra hands that helped me in setting up the tables of food. And I doubly thank all the people that helped me with the cleaning up afterwards. So I really appreciated that. To this very day, we still minister to Marion. Every other week, we hold a movie night in which we will go out to eat at a restaurant, and we will eat and eat until we can eat no more. And then we go to Wally's house, and we watch a movie, whether it's an old classic movie about Ronald Reagan. You remember him, don't you? But only in his younger days. Or one of those classic TV shows that were in its true colors, black and white. That was the way TV was meant to be back then. But in spite of it all, we thank God that somewhere in his great plan of design, that he made it possible for the Omegas to cross path with us, and that we could interact together and fellowship and continue to grow as Christians. It has just truly been a remarkable blessing. And I just love it. And if anybody wants to take my place, I'm not giving up, okay? It's mine. No, but I'm willing to share. But I really do enjoy doing what God has set in plans for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful for my husband who supports me in this too and helping to see that all of the Omega's needs are met, whether it's through holidays, whether it's through a church service at their place in which I ask people to come and do daily devotional that day, and we sing songs, and we just have church for those people that are in a nursing home. And so it's a wonderful opportunity. So I'm so eternally grateful. So thank you for letting me share this evening.
Thank you, Jesus. When I look back over the years, one of the really bright spots where God's been really at work is in that group. So thank you for all you've done. It's been fun to watch. So this is Chelsea, and Chelsea's in her senior year at ASU, and it's just grown by leaps and bounds. It's been wonderful to watch, and she's going to share with us some things about college.
All right. Well, to start off, I just wanted to say a little bit about my personal experience as a college student being in the college group at Church on Mel. So before I came to college, I was basically a new believer. I had come to know the Lord when I was 17 during the summer before my senior year of high school. And one of my friends was so anxious about me finding a good church and getting plugged in when I moved off to Tempe. And I'm sure a lot of people can feel that when they're thinking about their kids going off to college and what that's going to look like. Because it's such a challenging thing to be able to let that person you love so dearly and have invested in so much of their lives and their spiritual lives go off to college and experience all kinds of things, face all new challenges, see all different kinds of perspectives, and be under certain types of influence. And so looking back on it now, I can really see why she was anxious. But I was just so blessed. The Lord provided Church on Mill for me. It was the first place I went to and just really connected with my heart. It resonated. And even before coming here, I just remember feeling a peace that the Lord was going to take care of me through that. And I'm just completely in awe of how incredible he has been through that experience. He's blessed me with so many people who have taught me how to be a leader, taught me how to love other people, taught me it's okay to share my feelings and be vulnerable, because that's not something I used to do. So just over the course of my life and looking as a senior prepared to graduate in May, I am so truly blessed by everybody who's offered up their home to me, offered to talk to me, and to just really lead me through life. Because I didn't really have that example as a kid. I had great parents, but I didn't have that spiritual connection. So I saw in church on Mill, and in the college group especially, a family who was willing to love me and to exemplify all of the things that really you want to look for in a relationship with your family, of who God is, who Christ is, and how to live that life. And I'm just so incredibly blessed by that. And then looking at this semester and some of the things the college group has done this semester, I'm so amazed at what a place of comfort this can be. Because so many college students, for some reason this semester, have been going through a lot of anxiety with school or stress. We've got several seniors in the group who are kind of facing that journey of graduating and moving on to the next phase of their lives, and even just school stuff in general. It's been such a blessing to see how the college group has ministered to those needs. Like, in our Bible study, we've gotten a couple of people who have experienced anxiety right around the time we've been doing a conversation about comfort and the Lord's comfort. And it was just so cool to see how God was at work in that and how he brought up that session, that discussion for Bible study, right in the midst of people going through those issues. And the amount of comfort we offer one another, whether it's offering a hug to someone who's going through a rough time or a pat on the shoulder when someone's sharing something that's very dear to them. Or even last week when we got to do prayer stations and really reflect on who the Lord is, what things we should give up, what anxieties we should just let go of. And it's been so amazing to see God's timing in all of those things. So I think that's the thing that most testifies to this semester with the college group. All right, thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Kelsey. So, not good if you got to follow Judy and Chelsea, right? That's great stuff. So, Ansley, we've talked for over a year now about a desire to start a pastoral internship ministry here that will bring folks in, help develop them, give them a great church to be a part of, place to serve and grow. And the Lord is already blessing us by allowing us to have Hansley being a part of the family. Wasn't what he shared this morning impactful, helpful? Yeah. So somebody videoed it with their phone, and it's going around on Facebook already. So it's going to go viral, and it's going to blow up on YouTube pretty soon. So would you share with us?
Sure. Good evening, everybody. I just want to say that even in the 3 weeks that I've been actively involved here at Church on Mill, I can honestly say that my life has literally been changed. And it all started with a member on Church on Mill who saw a need and decided to address it. And that person is Nathaniel Carlson. I was at the seminary at the time, and I was commuting back and forth from Casa Grande to Phoenix Seminary every school day. I knew that the Lord had called me to ministry and to prepare for ministry, and the Lord graciously provided me an opportunity to attend Phoenix Seminary. Had a family down in Casa Grande who allowed me to move in with them, so they supported me, fed me every single day for that year, and allowed me to work in their business to provide for that level of commuting to take place. And so I was discussing some of the hardships with a friend of mine, just in terms of, you know, wanting to maximize my time at the seminary and trying to move closer and yet not being able to do so based on my living situation and my finances. And so Nathaniel came up to me and he carefully addressed
the opportunity of an internship here at Church on Mill. And so this was back in August, early September. And in the course of the next 2 months, it allowed me to meet with Pastor Chuck. And so I met with him, and I remember one of our very first meetings. I show up in the office, and I'm greeted in the office, very, very welcoming. And I get in, and here's Chuck, and here I am, and we're sitting there facing across. And I don't know if you've ever been interviewed by Chuck before, but he does this thing, right? Sometimes he would just remain silent and just look at you. You know what I mean? And you're just like, what do I do? What do I do? This is so awkward right now. But he had this look. It was a very genuine look and a very concerning look. And so I just began to ask him, you know, what's going on and what's happening. And in the next 10 or 15 minutes, I was blown away by what was going on. Basically, in that weekend, there was hospital visitation. There was somebody on their deathbed. And he was managing all of that, and yet he still allowed himself the time to meet with me, who was just some kid who heard about an internship and was interested in hearing more about it. And I was also blown away because in that same week, I had scheduled an appointment with somebody else, and twice they canceled on me, like very last minute, for what seemed to, till this day, I don't know why, in terms of the reasonings. And I'm sure they had their reasons, but I'm also sure they had their priorities. And that's one of the first things that I noticed here, was there was a priority of shepherding among the staff and the leadership, so that church members, at the end of the day, were not just commodities or people that you try to, you know, build an empire off of. But those were people that you actually shepherded. And the priority on people really came across during one of my first meetings with him. Just knowing everything else that's been going on that weekend, as well as the priority that he chose to meet with me. So we met for about 2 months, going back and forth, back and forth. And, you know, we discussed theological issues. We're also discussing testimonies of what's going on in our lives. And another solidifying moment for me was I flat out asked him. I was like, talk to me about your wife, right? He was just like, do you have any questions for me? I was like, talk to me about your wife. And he was like, what do you want to know, right? And I was just like, just talk. Because at the end of the day, you can put up a facade and you can, you know, present everything, but I wanted to catch him off guard, but I also wanted to see how he was going to respond. And for the next 5 minutes, he just began to speak about her and to just honor her and just things after things of, you know, who she is, what she means to him, and what's going on. And I'm telling you, like, for me to kind of see that level of impromptu honoring of a wife was another solidifying moment, because it's truly humbling to know that it's far more than just the things that we teach, but it's the things that we live out, all right? And granted, I know I can ask his wife. She would tell me he's not the perfect husband, right? And this is not the perfect church, and I am not the perfect intern. But the reality remains is that we serve a perfect and holy God. And to know that that's what this leadership has their intentions on, both in promoting as well as in living out, that each and every single day we can grow in our love for God and in our love for one another as we continue to seek Him and adhere to Scripture. Just that comfort and seeing it has really made a strong impact in my life, so that as I'm continuing to prepare myself for ministry, I now have a group of men and women that love God and that are choosing to serve Him wholeheartedly and sacrificially in an honest, unbiased, real way. And one of the ways that I've seen that
is Building 8. I don't know what that building looked like a year ago or 2 years ago, but I surely know what it looked like even just 2 months ago. Because one of my visits with them, I went to go look at the building, and wow. To me, it was way more than what I was like literally looking for a place to sleep, and that's it. And at the time, it was carpeted, and there were like cabinets and everything else, and I was highly impressed. Fast forward to the day I moved in. What I saw in those two, it was two different places. Like, it went up like 20 times in terms of the furniture that was there, the painting. There was fruit. There was flowers. I mean, wow. You know what? I've only been given 3 minutes, so I have to go. And quite frankly, I can say that my debt to just the Heatons alone, just knowing what they provided in that place, just them, I couldn't spend 20 years expressing gratitude. Then there's those who donated. Then there's those who gave. Then there's those who laid out a carpet. Then there's those who organized my bookshelf. And there's you who have given sacrificially and who have prayed for me before I even met you and who have allowed this internship program to be a reality in my life as well as the church. So I'm immensely grateful for all that you've done, and I'm immensely impressed by your love for Christ and your adherence to Scripture. So I look forward to a wonderful year filled with just that. God first, God is perfect. Let's grow in Him, and let's live it out authentically. Praise God.
Thanks. Thanks, Hensley. You'll see a lot more of him over the year, so it's going to be terrific. Beth is coming up next. Beth led the band that played just recently at Thanksgiving. They did a great job, didn't they? They did a fantastic job. Very fun. Sneak up by me. Do you want the stands?
Sure.
Okay. I don't know if I'd say that. Is that good?
All right. So in the beginning of 2012, I was struggling with major sin issues in my life. It was like one giant sin issue after another. I was entirely turned away from God. I felt alone and forgotten and like no one was there for me. In the spring of this year, I started meeting with Allison once a week as a prayer partner at my local Starbucks. And we talked about my life and the struggles that I had recently gone through. God knew I needed someone to encourage me towards the right path because he knew I wouldn't listen to him. Over the summer, I was actively involved in all church activities, including camps, VBSs, and my youth group's mission trip here. But I still didn't feel like God was there for me. This school year, I was leading the youth band, and I had the realization that I was worshiping God, even though I wasn't letting him come into my life and take complete control. I got to a point where I was in a pit, and I hit rock bottom. The sad part is I was so angry I wouldn't let God take control, and I only wanted what I wanted, not what he wanted. About 2 months ago, God hit me on the head with a stack of bricks during a church service. He told me that the reason I felt so alone was that because I was doing what I wanted and I was so caught up in my sin that I couldn't even see what he had planned for me or the things that he wanted in my life. He brought to me the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, which says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape so that you might be able to endure it." He told me that even though I was going through all these troubles and what I thought was absolutely horrible and there was no way of escape, that he would show me the way of escape in the way that he wanted to not in the way that I wanted to. He told me that I needed to start doing a daily devotional and change my life around. He said that going to church on Wednesdays and Sundays wasn't enough. I started doing a daily devotional in the mornings before I would go to school. And before I knew it, God brought me another verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 5, which says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." He told me through that verse that because I was desiring what I wanted, again, that it wasn't what he wanted, even though at some points I would have thought that it is what he wanted. But then as I continued to do my daily devotional, he told me that I needed more. It's like, okay, God, all right, what do you want? What's next? Throw it at me. He brought to me he brought to mind a person at my high school who is strong in her walk. I asked her to start doing a Bible study with me once a week during lunchtime in the middle of our courtyard at high school. And I realized, Beth 2 months ago would never ever want to even bring out her Bible at school in front of all these people that I see every single day. This clearly is not me. This is clearly what God wants. And she, when she got my message, she laughed and said that, quote, "God had been telling me that I needed to help someone that God would bring to me, and I was supposed to lead this person through what God wanted me to." I go, okay, I guess this is supposed to happen. She had the idea of reading through 1 Peter with me. We started one day in our courtyard, in the center, during lunch, and people started to walk around us and look at us. We ended up the first day with a group of 15 people that had joined our Bible study, people of all beliefs, including atheism, Judaism, Catholicism, and Baptist. They continued to ask questions and wanted to know the basic questions of who Jesus is, why do we really go to church, why do we want to go to church, those basic questions. We have continued to do this for the past 2 months, and each week we have at least 5 to 10 people. It is normally the same people, but because we meet in the same place at the same time, anyone can come up to us and ask us any question at any point. I had asked my youth group to start praying for this, and that God would provide us the words that he wanted us to share. There are 3 other youth in my youth group that go to the same school as me, and they had asked if they could join our Bible study, and I said, "Why? Of course." they each have continued to come to our Bible study, and so I ask you as my church and as my family to pray for my school, Horizon, and for the people in it, that you would, that God would provide us as youth the wisdom that he wants, and that we can share his love with unbelievers that attend our school that we see every day. Thank you.
Awesome. Good. Stay here. Good. Pretty cool story, huh? That's mission happening right here in our own backyard. So she's asked for prayer. I wonder if we could take a second and do that. Would somebody here be willing to maybe stand up and voice a prayer for the group? Great.
We meet Tuesdays.
At what time?
At 12:20.
12:20, okay. 12:20
Tuesday.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks.
Solid in their response. And Father, I just ask.
Thanks. The school's named Horizon, and so continue to pray for them. Pretty amazing stuff, God at work. So a little later tonight, we're going to talk some more about this gospel communities, what they are, what they're doing. But we have the Joe Dons, who have been a part of that ministry, and Thomas and Kelly are going to now come and share with us.
So we read what we were going to say to our kids earlier today, and Noah says, you need to tell a joke. So I don't know if what we're going to say is pretty boring or what, but we only have 3 minutes, so there's no joke. So we just want to give our experiences about the gospel community. I mean, we're so blessed to be part of a group, and we just wanted to share a little bit about the group and share some where we see God working within the group. So the individuals in our group have a variety of backgrounds that are at different stages in life. But the neat thing to me that I see in individuals is that, we all have a desire to live life as God wants us to. And we're definitely not there yet, but there is that desire in all of us. And so that's really neat to see. The other thing is that we have a really good group of college students within RGC, really blessed to be part of their lives. And but there's college students that are here locally across the state. And we also had some students that have grown up outside of the United States as being part of our GC. So a wide variety part. We also have some older, newly married, some old folks like us that have kids that are 9 to 15. We had actually a couple that came in that had a baby also. And so, again, we have a wide variety, which is kind of cool to see and actually hearing the different experiences from the different individuals. So, like other GCs, we try to meet twice a month for food and for a Bible study. And we have a fellowship and a missional component as well. One of the concerns that we had initially was with our children and the interaction with that. But from day one, they've been part of the group. They've been felt part of the group. They actively participate in the Bible study and the prayer time. And that's also neat to see because we also have follow-up discussions from that afterwards. And, their own growth, we can see through that. In fact, our next GC, the 5 older children that we have in our group are going to lead the GC in the Bible study, and so that'll be neat to see too. So we had a couple examples that we wanted to give of where we've seen God within our group. One of the things that we've gone through initially is just a kind of basics through stepping through the Bible and for in the sense of a non-Christian. And part of that is we had Noah in there. And, we started when he was 8 years old. And so during one of the Bible studies, he was listening intently. And just abruptly, he got up in the middle of the Bible study and left with Kelly. And we really didn't know what was going on and didn't think about anything. But, previously we had discussions with him as well as Andrea about becoming a Christian. And so he kind of had it in his mind but not in his heart. And so really at that time he was waiting for God to hear. And so as he was thinking about the story, we're talking about the creation story at that time, he looked up and one of the pictures on the wall, he saw that that one of the kind of the rock formations formed a cross. And at that moment, he felt, and the Holy Spirit basically told him, said it's now time to become a Christian at that specific moment. And so, it was a special moment for our family and for Noah. Being part of the GC, having that environment in our home was really nice to see for him to become a Christian.
Hmm. A few times we've had some unbelieving students who are curious about Christianity visit our Bible study. As we watched their faces hear the truth, we're convinced that we were seeing God at work. We both believe also that the words that they were hearing were because of the Holy Spirit working in the believers and in the group, as well as the kids who were sharing their faith and their testimony. We know that even if these unbelieving students don't return to the Bible study, that seeds were planted, and it's a privilege to be a part of that. In closing, we asked our kids to get, describe our gospel community, so I have some quotes to share with you guys. Noah says, it's a place where you don't have to be shy. You can just say all your ideas. And he does. Caitlin says, it's not just a Bible study, but a time where you can get to know each other. Sydney says, we joke around and have fun like a family. And then Noah, once again, he says, maybe it should be called a gospel family.
Awesome. Thanks. Awesome. That was wonderful. Thank you for sharing. Next up, we've got two more. So are you encouraged? A lot of wonderful stuff that's taking place. So this is Brian Murphy. You see him a lot up participating in our worship ministry, and it's just become a dear friend over the last 2 years or so. So Brian's going to share.
My family and I have been blessed to be at this church for about 2.5 years, and those blessings have come in so many different ways. And Chuck kind of asked me to share about growth in scriptures. And I was just thinking about this journey over the last couple of years and what here has impacted not only me, but also my whole family in our time here. And I was also comparing it to my experience in my job. I'm a teacher. And as an educator, I try to present things to my students, present my subject matter in a variety of ways where it's going to click with them, because everybody learns in different ways. And so you want to present it orally. You want to present it visually. You want to do something active. You want to do something thoughtful. Do different ways to try to help them wrap their brains around the content. And I've experienced that same kind of stuff here at Church on Mill. And I thought of three different ways where I've been able to be in an atmosphere that has helped me in my growth in the scriptures. I'll back up for a second by saying that it's not a natural thing for me to have this desire to jump into God's word. I'm more of a prayer type person. I feel like prayer comes to me more naturally than scriptures. Some of you might feel that way, or maybe it's vice versa, where maybe you read all the time, but prayer is difficult. That's a very natural thing for me, but reading the scriptures is not. But this time here has been very encouraging for me to help me to grow in that area in these three ways. One of them is, and the biggest way, is just a commitment to preaching God's truth from the pulpit. Coming and hearing God's word preached faithfully and honestly from the scriptures. And not only from the pulpit, but also from the worship time. And there's so much growth in hearing the wonderful truths of Scripture and having that bless me. And I've had conversations with my wife and my children, and they're getting it too. You know, when your high school-age son, you have this deep conversation about what's being preached, not super deep theologically, but just understanding the truth of it all, and you can see that it's impacting him in his walk, and he's seeing it, and he's hearing it, and it's sticking, which is a wonderful thing. So that commitment of preaching God's word from the pulpit, but then also the opportunities that I've had to take different classes or to be involved in different activities where I've learned, whether it's being in a life group and being able to work through the book of 1 John with Harry Haney, teaching through this. And it was like a seminary class that a person like me could understand. Or whether it's the first Wednesdays coming to those classes, or some classes on Wednesday night during the summer, or these different things where I can just really learn and grow deeper and get that aspect of it. But also I see that being played out on a day-to-day basis in conversations. I mean, we have the conversations. Hey, how about those Sun Devils or the Cardinals? You know, you get those kind of conversations. But as we're talking and around other people, it's also conversations where it's God's word, but it's God's word in reality. And this is what God is doing in my life, and this is why. And I know it's true because of this and understanding. And so just seeing how all those different areas have played out to help me in my growth in understanding the scriptures, being drawn to the scriptures, and seeing what it's doing not only for me, but for my wife and for my children. And being here at Church on Mill has been a huge blessing.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks, Brian. So last up tonight, we have Ryan. So many of you have probably not met Ryan and Dorothy are brand new members to Church on Mill. Wonderful people. They've just had a baby that came early, so they have been trading off coming. The baby was 6 weeks,
right.
6 weeks early. And so life is a little crazy at their house right now. But Ryan and Dorothy served overseas as missionaries, have been back in the States about a year, and are marvelous people that I think you're really going to enjoy getting to know over the years. And he is a very witty, funny guy, too. So I hope some of that comes out as he's sharing. No pressure.
Wow. It's all very true. I can't believe I have to follow all these wonderful speakers. They just did such a great job. And I brought notes so I don't get lost and so I don't go off on a tangent. Did you know that the number one fear people have is public speaking and the number two fear is death? I feel like those are backwards. So if I just stop talking, fall, that's why. I wanted to tell you guys something inspiring tonight. But before that, just a little bit of something boring about me. Me and my wife were missionaries overseas for about 3 years in Central Europe. And before we left, the church we were a part of was a church plant, and we were part of the leadership there. And as we were on the field doing mission work, the other leaders of the church also went off and did mission work. And the church itself, the members didn't fill in those spots. And so the church actually just dissipated while we were gone. And so we came back. We didn't have a home church. Mm. So like Chuck said, we have been here for about a year. This past November, it's been a year. And we had spent the first couple months looking for a home church where, you know, we tried a couple of things, tried a couple of other church plants, house churches. And God wasn't really moving in that way for us. And it was kind of discouraging, actually, to see some of the churches that we went to. I mean, not to be rude, but the Baptist didn't disappoint when it came to the kind of boring lull, and not to be mean or anything like that, but if God is working in a church, you should see fruit in that church, and that should come through the congregation. You should just see it and feel it, and it's there, and we didn't see any of that. So many churches, and it's so disappointing. A lot of them, they would call them mule churches, and they don't reproduce. They just kind of stagnate. And it was really disheartening. And so we came to Church on Mill. We gave every church two chances, right? Because maybe they had an off day. So we came to Church on Mill the second time. And we had the worship service, which was great. And then the part of church that just, I'm a big introvert, it just drives me nuts, is the welcome time and the greeting time. And it just reminds me of elementary school when the teacher was like, okay, let's buddy up and put your desk together. We're gonna have groups. And I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm just like, no. I shook a couple hands, then I went back to my seat, and everybody's still talking. And just like, okay, I'll give them another minute. And I looked around, still talking. And no one's coming up. You know, Chuck's not ushering people back to their seats. He's talking. Everybody's talking. And I'm thinking, Lord, you will come back before this welcome time is over. It was so long. I just couldn't believe it. But then, you know, I stopped and I looked around at the conversations, and there was some genuine, you know, people were listening to each other. You guys actually like each other, and that's, I couldn't believe it. You know, there was genuine care and concern, and that was the fruit that we had been looking for. And because people, without Christ, it's extraordinarily difficult to have that kind of concern and that kind of selflessness, because we're selfish as people. And I was being a prime example of it at that moment. And in seeing that, we decided this is where we were going to come. And it was amazing to see that kind of love. And I got to experience that kind of love when our baby came 6 weeks early. The first person I called was Chuck. And, you know, I told him the situation, asked for prayer, and I got my stuff and went to the hospital, had somebody come and watch my two-year-old, because we have a two-year-old as well, and went to the hospital, and the first person I see there is Chuck. And I remember actually specifically telling him, don't worry about coming, just, you know, send an email, I'll keep you informed. And there was Chuck, and that was really inspiring. But what was really super inspiring was the way the church body ministered to us for the following weeks. My wife and daughter were in the hospital for some time, and the church just stepped up. And I could not specify a time in my life where I had been ministered to like that before. So it was kind of cool to be on the other side of that mission work, to receive that. So that's what's inspiring. This church is what's inspiring. That's what I wanted to share is, you know, keep doing what you're doing. You know, it's easy to accept Christ. Anybody can accept Christ and sit down and do nothing. But to follow Christ is a whole different thing. So I see a body of church followers here. And I just want to thank you for that.
Great job. Thanks. Amazing stories, right? So it's been a year of God at work, changing lives. And I know if we had time to pass around the mic, there would be many, many, many more stories. So thank you for those of you that have shared. Thanks for a great year. Thanks for saying yes to God and just seeing Him move and change lives. So it's been terrific. I wonder if somebody would voice a prayer of just thanksgiving, a prayer of praise to God for these stories that we've heard. Somebody be willing to do that? That's not on the agenda. Awesome. Thanks. Would you stand up so everybody can hear you?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Father God, we want to thank you so much for how you've been at work in our lives and here at Church on Mel. We want to thank you so much for the opportunities for encouragement, compassion, love, growth, developing leadership, and drawing people to you to see your truth in your light. Lord, we pray for all the people here at Church on Mill, that you would continue to work through this church and to grow the people around us and allow us to encourage one another and to reach outside to the world out there and show that love and encouragement that you've given us each and every day. Lord, we are just so amazed at how you've been at work, and it's so inspiring to hear stories. Father, we pray that as we continue to reflect this evening, that would leave us, that we would continue to share the stories of encouragement, and that we would continue to be receptive to hearing where you are at work, because that is truly inspiring, and looking to you is what really matters, Lord. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks. So we want to hit a couple more things tonight. So we've really reflected back and thanked God for what He's been doing in 2011 in individual lives and collectively how that speaks to us. So the remaining time tonight, what we want to hit is sort of what I might call a little bit of a vision talk. So it will take me about 30 minutes, and I want to walk through for you from a high-level perspective. So if we're up at 30,000 feet looking down, what does God seem to be doing among us? So we'll do that. And then we have a major children's ministry revamp that's taking place right now. All the groundwork's being done. Andrea's been leading that. Lots of people involved in that. And we want to talk you through that because regardless of whether or not you have children, one of the things that we all ought to care about immensely is our kids being encouraged in the Lord. It's the church doing that well. That needs to be a significant priority of every local church. And we've got some things coming up in 2013 that are just going to be amazing. So we'll talk you through that and then receive some questions. There's a little bit of discussion about all that. Then look at the budget. Tad's going to speak to us about that. And then we'll end out the night with prayer. So hope you brought a pillow and a blankie. So we got some big stuff to still hit. It's going to be a lot of fun. And if you need to get up, hit the bathrooms, get drinks in the back, whatever you need to do as we're talking through, please feel free to do that. So if I could take 25, 30 minutes and try and talk you through what do... what seems to be happening here at the church? What is God doing? And where does he seem to be taking us? That will be sort of what we spend the next few minutes doing. And then I want to see if you have some questions about that. And then Andrea will come. So again, if you need to get up, please feel free to do that. But as you can hear, God's really been at work, right? It's amazing when you stop to really sit and listen to the stories and reflect a little bit how many evidences of God's grace there are among us. They seem to be everywhere. Everywhere we turn, there are stories of how God is working. And many more we could have told tonight.